You'll please join me by standing as we read God's word together. John chapter 1. Is this working? John chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Heavenly Father, bless now our time together. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us in this message as we open your word. Remember the ultimate light of Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, lights make up part of what Christmas is. It seems like, you know, everywhere you go, Christmas. I read last week that they gave the top national neighborhoods where the most lights were. And I'm assuming this would be based on participation and the national. They gave the top 10. And Candy Cane Lane in Vacaville came, I think, number 3 or something in that poll. I'm assuming that would be for their participation and all that they went through to make the Christmas lights. How many of you have been to Candy Cane Lane? Yeah, most of you, I think, have. As you drive down through there, it's pretty amazing there off at Orchard Avenue, and see all the lights. Can you imagine, though, what PG&E must be making off those people? But, you know, you think about the lights, and it's really exciting, you know, when you have the lights, you'd be around a lot of lights and things like that. When we were kids, you know, we'd always be excited about Christmas lights and all those kind of things. And maybe it's because we live in a world that's so filled with darkness. Maybe it's just the fact that because we recognize that the world is such a dark place, that it helps us to appreciate the light that is given to us. But while it's true that physically our world lies in darkness, it is also true that our world spiritually is in darkness. I'm not surprised by the conditions of people's lives today, because I realize that the darkness has consumed them, unfortunately. But you know, the truth of the matter is, when we think of lights, God brings our attention to the light, of course, Jesus Christ, the ultimate light. I mean, during this Christmas season, as you see the lights, I just want you to remember as you drive past, whether you go to Candy Cane Lane or you go up the street, or you know, you kind of do the light tour, or perhaps go to, I think, all these different places around where you can do a light drive where all the lights are and they shine and bright, you know, do all these weird things, and you kind of enjoy that. I want you to think about the ultimate light. The ultimate one. And so there are 3 characteristics that I find about the ministry of the Lord Jesus in relationship to the light. Number 1 is his identity as the light. Verses 1-4 tells us that the light is identified with Jesus.
Notice in verse number 1 that he's eternal God. Did you notice the Bible says in the beginning? Do you realize before there ever was anything, there was God? He's eternal God. And the light that's mentioned here is the light that is the original light. In other words, he is no doubt the light. The Bible says it like this in 1 John 1:9. It says, "This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all." God himself being the light brings for us so much life. We'll read about that in a moment. But he is God. In the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. Those four words are the most powerful words we have in the Bible. Those words ring so loud through all the ages that in the beginning, it was him. And I want us to realize that tonight. I want us to keep in mind that, you know, sometimes we hear this, you know, we hear this, well, Jesus was born at Christmas. No, he wasn't. He always was. It wasn't a fact that Jesus had a starting place. Jesus was God. And we understand that if Jesus is God and he's the light, in the beginning, we're talking about he who is the light. He's the eternal God. Aren't you glad that we have a God that doesn't run out of life? You know, there's those who kind of have this idea that God can be like, you know, almost like an alarm clock. You kind of wind him up. Like the old alarm clocks used to be, you wind them up and then it just kind of runs down. That's not our God. Our God is eternal God. It's a good reminder for us during this season that when we look at the light and we think of all these things, we recognize the fact that he is identified as the eternal God. But in verse 3 is also the creator. In verse 3, the Bible says, all things were made by him. And in Genesis Chapter 1 again, I'll read that for you. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He, since he was from the beginning, he's the one that breathed and spoke into existence creation. I mean, that's how God made it. He was not the sunlight, the moonlight, the starlight, or some man-made light. He is light himself, and he created all that you and I see. It's the very foundation. He's the anchor of our life. He's all that there is. He's that which brings light to a confused and darkened world. I don't know if we realize, but man, that light is so powerfully important. It's so necessary. If you were to go to, as we were in Israel, I mean, it can be dark out there in that desert. You imagine wandering in the desert. I was thinking of this the other day that here, you know, Moses wandered in that desert and he kept and took care of sheep. But think about it. He saw that burning bush. I imagine that probably stood real bright in that desert place because he being the light, that means he's unchanging. That means he's eternal. That means he's the creator. That means that when he speaks, he is to be recognized as the light. But thirdly, I want you to think of him. He is the Savior of the world. The Bible says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Now some people don't understand that. Some people think that life is in things. If I can just have one more thing. For some people, they're looking for life this Christmas, and they think it can be in that thing that they need. Or they think that it can be in perhaps maybe life is in a bottle or in a party or in a social event or maybe in a position. The Bible said that Jesus is the giver of life. He's the one that brings life to us. I mean, honestly, we are the most fortunate people in all the world who sit here, not just us, but believers like us all over the world. We are the most fortunate people in all the world because we have what true life is. And it's not because of our goodness, it's just because of his grace. that we can appreciate the life that he gave us. My wife and I, every day, we just kind of marvel at the fact as we discuss, man, God is such a wonderful giver of life. What a boring life it would be without Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. And since we're in the darkness without the light, only Jesus can bring that light to us. He's the Savior that takes care of our needs. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a," what's that word? Savior. Which is Christ the Lord. It's strange to me when we were there, and I know we're kind of bringing up a little bit of Israel, and I don't want to wear it out on you, but when we were there, it's strange how that you can be in a place where the whole country is built around what Jesus did there, and yet how many people can reject him. I just don't understand that. How can you reject the very place that you, if you're there and you see all the evidences of what Jesus did? But then I was thinking how sad it is in America where this gospel can be preached on every street corner, and yet so many people don't know the Savior. Choosing to walk in darkness. But Jesus is the ultimate light. Tonight, you and I can praise God that he identifies himself as the light. But there's a second characteristic I want to call your attention to in this passage, and that is his illumination through the light. Verses 5 through 7, the Bible says that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. He reveals our condition. He reveals who we are. Jesus shines the light of his life in this world. Strangely enough, they don't comprehend it. Strangely enough, maybe we didn't comprehend it. I don't want to ask, but I would imagine if I were to ask, how many of you had to hear the gospel more than just one time to accept Jesus? Probably many of us would raise our hand and say, yep, that's me. I had to hear the gospel many times. That's the way it was for me. Because for me, I didn't comprehend that I was in darkness. I didn't realize the fact of my condition. I didn't know where I was. I knew I needed something. I knew I had an emptiness inside. I knew there was some fear that I had, the fear of death and the fear of where I would go when I were to die. But I also knew the guilt of sin in my life. And when the light of Jesus shined in my life, he showed me how dark I really was, the darkness in my life. Paul writes about this in an unflattering biographical sketch of mankind without Jesus. And here's what he says. He says, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Without the light of the gospel, we walk in darkness. Without the light of the truth of the gospel, without Jesus shining the light, I mean, that's our condition. And even when you dress us up and you're trying to make us look good, and maybe you talk good about us, or maybe a biography might be written about us, the truth of the matter is we are still just like this description without Jesus Christ. That's the darkened condition that we're in. And so when he illuminates that in our own life and he brings that point out to us, he reveals our condition, then the Bible says he reveals our salvation. Notice in verse number 7, notice what it says. It says, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Aren't you glad that Jesus made salvation possible for every one of us? Isn't it good to know that? Isn't it good to know you don't have to, you know, be born in a certain place or have a certain amount of money or be bright or be good looking or be thin or have a lot of hair. It's just good to know that God forgives. Salvation, because of our condition, God says, I'm going to offer to you salvation. Because the perfection is not in us, the perfection is in Him. See, our problem is we try to somehow think we're going to clean up who we are. We can't clean up who we are. God says, I come not to save saints, but to save sinners, of whom all of us are. That's what He did. We're illuminated to the light of the gospel. We're illuminated through God's marvelous truth that He is the light of the world, and He is the one that gives true light. But then there's a third characteristic, and I'll wrap up with this, and that is that His provision from the light. What does He provide for us? What is it that God gives to us? Well, we see in verses 9 and 10, the Bible says He gives us life. He offers to us life. I've already hinted at that, already talked about that. And Jesus even tells us later into this book, here's what He says. He said, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that believeth or followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you realize that Jesus gives us what life is? Now, what is life? I mean, what is it? Sometimes I think we confuse it because the world likes to get us to think that, or people who are outside of Christ gets us to think that, you know, life is like, well, if we're just, we can get to this place of perfection where there's no pain, no sorrow, we don't have any needs, we have, you know, everything's just perfect and all of that. Have you ever noticed something that God is more concerned, and God was more concerned even when He was here on earth? Jesus was more concerned about the eternity than He was the temporal. You know, because I think that's kind of how we have in our mind. You know, if we could just have, if our life could just be easy, you know, we're comfortable and we don't have to worry about anything and everything's just fine. And if we want it, we get it. And we're never told no, we can do what we want. That's life. And I'm still amazed at how that the crowds would follow Jesus as long as He was healing and feeding and taking care of them and doing all the miracles. They loved following Him. But Jesus wasn't concerned about their physical well-being. He was concerned more about their spiritual well-being. Tonight, life is not in this world. Because what happens is the world is always trying to get you to have substitute saviors. Boy, if you can have this, you'll be so much happier. If you have that, that'll make you so much better. And boy, this is what life is all about. When really it's about our relationship to God and eternity. That's where life is. I don't know about you, but I think of tonight. Well, can you imagine if we were to go to heaven tonight? Boy, we'd have a marvelous Christmas, wouldn't we? And it'd be a great thing. You know, you get to heaven and here you are, you're celebrating with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we're all falling prostrate before Him and we're recognizing Him and we're saying, you know, this is truly what life is, because I'm going to tell you something. Our salvation and what God has given to us in Jesus is the beginning of this life, and we can enjoy this life and we enjoy it every day. But I'm telling you, ultimately it ends in eternity. It's that glorification of being with Him, and God is showing us that's what it's about. He offers that to us. He offers real life. There's so many trying to find it. God says, I'm here. I got it for you. But then second of all, in verse 12, He offers sonship. Do you see that? I mean, life is given to us, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the, what? Sons of God. Sonship. And that, of course, refers to that family relationship we have with God. That now we're with Him and we're a part of the family of God. And I've often thought about, what is it like to be a part of a family? Remember years ago when I was a teenager and my mom and dad sold a house. I'll never forget this. This was back in the days. You guys might remember these days. And some of you never remember these days because you never lived in those days. But they left their doors unlocked. How many of you remember the days when you left your doors unlocked? And I remember they sold, mom and dad sold the house to somebody. And man, I was just a kid. I had no idea. I was down playing. And I just happened to say, I got to use a bathroom. So I go into this strange house and go in and use a bathroom. And they go, hey, how you doing? Doing fine. Go back and use the bathroom. He's like, I own the place. And I told my mom and dad, but I said, you shouldn't do that. It's not your house anymore. But what is the privilege of being a part of a family? Is you can do that. You can go in and open the refrigerator. You can go in and sit at the table. You can go in and sit around the fire and enjoy the benefits of being a part of the family. You know, tonight we have that in Jesus. We share in that. That sonship means you're part of the family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And Christmas is a good time as we think of the light of the world, that he's provided all of that, that he's offered all of that to every one of us here in the room. And all we can do is just celebrate and say, thank God for what he's given to us in his son, Jesus. It's a blessed privilege. And those things God says that he offers to us. And when I think of the light of Christmas and I think of Jesus, the ultimate light of Christmas, all that he offers to us. Now, what does the light in the physical world offer to us? None of these things. They're merely images of what can be. And what can be in Jesus. Tonight, we have not what can be, we have what is in Jesus to those of us who know him. I hope you know him tonight. I hope you'll celebrate during this Christmas season, the ultimate light of Christmas. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight that you are the light of the world. But Lord, that in John's gospel that you have showed to us, Lord, how this light has given to us through your ministry to us.